today. I want to talk to you on the subject of faith versus fear from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Faith versus fear. And I thought last week that was going to be the last message on faith, the subject of faith, but that was my thinking and not God's. So we're going to go with God. And we're going to continue as long as God moves in this direction. But faith versus fear. From the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Now therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, and here's our focus for today, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him until that day. Amen. Let's be praying. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are so faithful, so trustworthy, and you have blessed us with every blessing in heavenly places. Now we come to you and ask for your guidance through your word. Just guide our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Convict of sin. Show us the truth that we may grow in the knowledge of you. Lord, we love you and we praise you for all that you do. But most of all, we praise you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is writing this from Roman prison. And he's writing to young Timothy, who's the pastor at the church of Ephesus. And as he writes and he opens this book, he's writing to give instruction, but to encourage this young Timothy as a young pastor. And I thought about that and I thought, now wait a minute. Timothy's a free man. Paul's in jail. But yet Paul is the guy that's trying to minister to Timothy, who's out there pastoring. Isn't something wrong with that? Something doesn't add up. It should be the other way around. Everybody else should be encouraging Paul at this point. But obviously, Timothy's not the only one. Half the New Testament was written as Paul was in jail. And so obviously Paul had something that most people in the world today do not have. And you know what he had? He had knowledge. It was all about what Paul knew. See, there are so many today who are afraid. And we're living in, I guess, what could be considered scary times. And as I preach this, I want you to understand, I'm not, you may say, well, Brother Doug's talking about those people who aren't here this morning, but they're watching from home. No, I'm not. If you shouldn't be here, don't be here. We're glad you're watching from home. You may think, well, Brother Doug's talking, all the fear and out there with the newscast and the number of deaths. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the inside of you. You can either be filled with faith or you can be filled with fear. Amen. But you can't be filled with both. Amen. Paul knew. He knew some things that carried him through most difficult times. And we learned the lesson of how not to be overwhelmed by fear. The way We learn that through Paul as we seek to know what the Apostle Paul knew in that day. Paul knew, first of all, why he was there. He knew why he was where he was. He said, "For this reason I suffer these things." For what reason? Was verse 11. "To which I was appointed a preacher of the gospel, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles." Paul said, "This is why I'm where I am today." He was in prison. He was experiencing persecution. And it was all because he said, "I'm appointed as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm in prison. And I was doing my duty, and it's brought me to where I am." And he said, "For that reason, I suffer these things." And I want to point out that word suffer, it literally means to experience something that is painful or harmful. I want you to understand, we think of Paul as being this big giant in the faith, and he was. But Paul was not happy about where he was. He didn't wake up one morning and say, "Boy, I hope I'm arrested today so I can spend the next several years in jail." He didn't. That would be silly. I want you to understand what he was going through. He had no idea from one day to the next if he was going to live or if he was going to be executed. He had no idea how long this was going to drag on. He had no idea of what tomorrow held. He was isolated. He was abandoned. We read a little later in this chapter where those who had been his friends and fellow laborers were just falling by the wayside. And Paul was starting to feel like, "Hey, I'm on my own." No doubt he felt very alone, very miserable. And still he's rewriting these words of encouragement to Timothy. And I think it was part of it was because he knew where he was and why he was there. You know, a lot of times it helps just to know why. Doesn't it? If something hurts and you go to the doctor and he says, "Well, I can't fix the pain, but I can tell you why you're hurting," it just kind of makes you feel better, does it not? Well, it's kind of where we are here with Paul. He's going to suffer. There's nothing he can do to change that. But knowing where he is and knowing why he's there seems to lift him up. And that's what we need to know. We need to know why we are where we are. The last 2 months have been very trying for a lot of people. We've sheltered in place. We've lived in isolation. We've wondered, how long is this going to go on? And we've thought, and now what you're hearing is, now that we're getting back to business, you're hearing a lot of people say, "Well, there's going to be a resurgence. I hope there's not a resurgence. And what's going to happen to our economy with unemployment up to 20%? And it just seems like bad news after bad news. And everywhere we go, we have to carry our own hand sanitizer, take our own mask, and wear gloves. And people are wondering, hey, is this the new normal? And maybe you would ask me, "You're a man of God, Brother Doug. You're a preacher. Is this our new normal?" Here's my answer. I do not know. Now, don't you feel better? I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know why we're here. I know why we are where we are, and I'm going to share it with you. We find it in the book of Matthew chapter 24. We start reading there in verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many, and shall hear wars and rumors of wars. And see that you don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." That's where we are. And you are where you are today because you have been appointed by God to live in these times. And you have been appointed by God to be a light in the darkness of this sin-cursed world. You have been appointed by God to stand in times like this and let people see the mighty God that you serve. You are here Not just passing through life without course and without reason. You are here to share the gospel and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And what a great opportunity it is right now for us to share Jesus, because people are truly afraid. Now, when I talk about being afraid, I'm not talking about, you know, not taking precautions, not washing your hands. No, I'm talking about on the inside. Do you have the peace that passes all understanding today? Do you have peace that knowing no matter what happens tomorrow, you know that your God is in control? You see, that's the peace that Paul had. We first must understand we're put here for a reason. That reason is to be salt and light in this world that needs to see Jesus. Second thing you need to understand is you need to understand the seriousness of where we are. Luke chapter 21. Verse 28 says, now when these things begin to happen, what? Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Do you realize, folks, Jesus is coming? We're living in those last days, those beginnings of sorrows of time. And you realize we're not waiting on anything anymore. We're not waiting for Israel to do something. We're not waiting on the building of a temple. We're not waiting for the Antichrist to appear. We're waiting for the trumpet. Everything that's listed there in Matthew 24, we've seen the pestilence. That's what we're going through now. The famines, the earthquakes, and we've seen wars, nations against nations. We've seen all that. It's where we are. We're ready for Jesus Christ to come again. We don't know when, but we know He's coming. We're closer today than we've ever been before to that day and that Paul wrote about, where he said the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to tell you, folks, it does not matter what's going on throughout the world today. The credit crunch, the economic crunch, all that doesn't matter. What matters is what's going to happen after this life is through. Jesus Christ is coming again. This life, my friends, I want you to understand, sometimes we hold on a little bit too tight. This life is not all there is. There's coming a great reunion day where Jesus Christ steps out on that cloud, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet sounds, and we go meet all those people who've gone on before. Those loved ones, grandparents and moms and dads and those that we've read about in the Bible, people like Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul, and we'll see them for the first time. And you understand, we'll see our Jesus for the first time. Amen. That day's coming. Amen. That's where we are. I'm reminded of the song. Oh my goodness. We shall behold Him. The angel will sound the shout of His coming, and the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. Those remaining shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall behold Him then, face to face. I'd sing it to you if I could sing, but I'm going to spare you that. We shall behold Him. We shall behold Him, face to face, in all of His glory. We shall behold Him. We shall behold Him. Our Savior and our Lord. Old Sandy Patty song. But one of these days, my friends, and we're closer than we have ever been. You've got to know right now that the fears that are spreading across the world will not overwhelm you. You've got to know where you're going. We'll behold Him. Second thing Paul knew, he said, I know whom I have believed. I love that statement. I know whom I have believed. That word know, it means to be absolutely, positively sure of something. So when he said, I'm absolutely positively sure of whom I believed, he's saying, I'm absolutely positively sure in the one in which I've placed my trust. I know very well the God in which I trusted. You see, Paul had faced a lot of adversity in his life. It was not an easy life. He was persecuted everywhere he went. In one city, he was stoned. Elsewhere, he was in prison. Elsewhere, he was beaten and imprisoned. He was run out of town everywhere he went. He was called insane. He faced harsh and severe persecution everywhere he went. How did he keep going? He knew in whom he had believed, and he knew that God was always faithful no matter what. Romans 8:37, Paul writes, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to tell you, it does not matter what happens tomorrow. There is nothing, including hell itself, that can separate you from your God. Nobody can take that away from you. How do you fight fear? You learn the God in whom you've trusted is very... Well, let me restate that. God, in whom you've trusted, is always faithful. Always faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul writes, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. It may get tough. It may be okay. We may just all go, forget everything that we've been through, and in 6 months from now, life be back to normal. I doubt it, but it's possible. But the one thing I know, no matter where we find ourselves tomorrow, our God will be right there with us. Amen. He is always faithful. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except is common to man. But here's the faithfulness of God. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The word temptation is test. Every test. Everything you go through that pushes your faith to the limit, God's there saying, okay, I'm providing. I'm going to give you what you need, even a way to escape, if that's what you need. Listen, if God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, so that if you believed in Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life, I want you to understand the God that did that is not going to abandon you today or tomorrow or next week or next year. Paul knew that. That's why there was such a courage in the Apostle Paul. And then finally, we see Paul's confident. Paul was confident. He said, I'm persuaded. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him. That word persuaded, it does mean to be confident. And you notice where Paul's confidence was. The world tells us, believe in yourself, have self-confidence. That's not what Paul said. He didn't say, I'm persuaded that I am able. Paul's confidence was not in his Roman government. He was an official Roman citizen, but he knew the government wasn't going to save him. There's a cry today among the people for the government to step in and deliver us. And I want to tell you something, the government can only do so much. They're not our deliverer. Paul wasn't trusting, confident in a denomination. Even though he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, even though he was an apostle himself, that was not where his confidence was. Paul was confident that his God was able to keep him. I want you to grab hold of this. Paul's God was able to to keep that which he had committed to him. That word keep, now grab, now understand, that word keep means to guard. You know what Paul's saying? Paul is saying, my God is always on guard duty. That what I have placed in his care, he never sleeps, nor does he ever slumber. That's Psalms 121 and 3 says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not sleep, or he will not slumber. Paul said, my God is always on guard, always on duty. And do you understand today that we are serving the same God that the Apostle Paul served? We don't know the circumstances of tomorrow. We don't know how things are going to play out. You may be battling health issues. You may be battling financial issues. And it may be family issues. But whatever the battle, here's what I can tell you. You can have all confidence that God is on guard duty for his children. You realize the very hair on your head has been numbered. God knows everything about you. And God loves you. This is the same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. This is the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. This is the same God that delivered David out of the hands of Saul. And this is the same God that rose our Savior Jesus Christ from the grave. He's on duty. You can have confidence and say, I'm not afraid, because my God is on duty. Oh, I remember when I was in the military, I was in the Air Force, and basic training, we had to do guard duty. That was the biggest joke. they were just giving us something to do. But we'd stand there at those doorways, and somebody would come up, and they'd knock. And didn't matter. You knew who they were. You had to stand there and say, who goes there? May I see your military ID? And the guy could have been your own drill instructor. As a matter of fact, they caught me one time. Your own drill instructor. And if you did not stop him and demand to see his ID before he entered that area, you were in trouble. And they got, one day I was there and standing guard duty. There was one DI on the inside of the door. And there was the other DI. We had two drill instructors. And the other drill instructor, the head drill instructor, come to the door. And I'm guarding the door. He knocks and I say, may I see your military ID? He says, Airman, you know who I am. I said, sir, may I see your military ID? He said, you know who I am. I said, sir, may I see your military ID? You know who I am. You let me in now or you will regret it. And he began to shout. He began to yell. And this was back when basic training, they would still say things that probably shouldn't be said, right? And then the other drill instructor heard. And he comes up there. And he starts yelling at me on this side of the door. Airman Hambrick, don't you let him in until he shows you your ID. The drill instructor on the other side of the door was saying, Hambrick, you better let me in. I'm going to make your life miserable. You know. And I just stood there and took it. Didn't know what to do. Well, to make a long story short, he finally showed me his ID and I let him in. He said, good job.
But you know, the reality would have been, if he wanted in that building, he could have entered. I couldn't have stopped him. What I want you to understand today, that whatever you're facing as a child of God, you serve a God. And He knows everything that you're going through. He knows everything that tomorrow holds for you. He knows your sickness before you have it. He knows your financial difficulties before you experience. He knows what you're going to need before you even have a clue that you're going to need it. That's the guard, the God who's on guard duty of His children. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, I am confident that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Oh, beloved, that's the God that you serve. And I want you to grab today just the realization, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to lose our peace on the inside because of what's going on the outside. We serve an awesome God, and He's always on guard. Paul was never overwhelmed because he knew this awesome God. My question to you is, do you know this awesome God of which I speak? Listen, Jesus Christ came to this earth so that you could have everlasting life. He's proven His love for you by going to the cross of Calvary. You say, well, how do I know that God loves me? He demonstrated His love by giving His Son, who went to the cross of Calvary, to pay for your sin. Now listen, who else has done something like that for you? Nobody. Nobody. And He did it so that you could have the peace of mind of knowing that when this life is over, I'm going to heaven. Because there's a place prepared for me eternal in the heavens. By Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you a child of God? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation today. Okay? And invite you to come. Come. And make a public profession calling upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Come. Come. And let's get that scheduled. Get that prepared. Maybe you're here today and you know you're a child of God. But this fear, you know, with all the bad news just got you in turmoil on the inside. Let me give you one last piece of advice. Quit listening to the news and start listening to God. Okay? You want peace, you need to hear from God. The God on guard. Get into the Word. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you to come as we have this verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we do come to You today. We come to You rejoicing and knowing that You're always on guard duty. We rejoice in knowing that no matter what, You have all things under Your control, and You are the God of this universe. You are on Your throne. So now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray that You'll give us responsive hearts. I pray that, Lord, whatever needs there are in this congregation and for those watching at home, I pray that they will call upon You to fulfill those spiritual needs. If they need to be saved, I pray that they'll pray asking You to save them. If they need to rededicate, whatever they need. And, Lord, if they're experiencing that fear that just ruins and disturbs everything inside, I pray that You will fill them with peace that passes all understanding. Because that's the God that You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.